All right. Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. How is your brain? I want to know how your brain is doing. That's right. Particularly when your brain is being impacted by religion. Some of you were with us when we began this discussion on Tuesday, and we were talking about how the brain reacts, how it's activated when we are in the business of praying, when we're about the business of meditating. We mentioned that one of the things that they pointed out is that they noticed that even different religious practices have different impacts on our brains. And they particularly pointed this out when they compared the way the brains of Buddhists who are meditating react to that meditation compared to the way the brains of Catholic nuns pray, the way their brains react to their prayer when they're praying. I tell you what, there is something to this. Now, one of the big, shall we use the C word, controversies, centers on whether or not it is just the brain, only the brain, that is reacting to, responding to our activities of meditation, prayer. We could include in that study of the word, because my guess is by studying, I mean truly, truly studying our religious materials, not just looking at words, not just glancing at the paper and seeing the print on the paper and just kind of, oh, yeah, okay, so I read. No, I don't mean like that. I mean studying like some people study for an exam, really engaging the mind, really engaging the brain as we go about the business of studying our religious books. My guess is we would see some activation going on then too. And then, of course, one question would be, would we see our brains activate when studying our religious materials in ways that are different when we're studying secular materials that have nothing to do with religion? So anyway, researchers led by Dr. Jeff Anderson from the University of Utah School of Medicine. Again, he took a look at the brains of 19 young Mormons, and he used a functional MRI scanner to examine their brains. Now, here are some of the questions that were asked. Whether and to what degree the participants were, quote unquote, feeling the spirit. Those who reported the most intense spiritual feelings displayed increased activity in the bilateral nucleus accumbens, as well as the frontal attentional and ventral medial prefrontal cortical loci. These pleasure and reward processing brain areas are also active when we engage in, who, of those of you who were with me on Tuesday, who recalls some of the other activities that we engage in that impact these same areas of the brain? Remember, here the key is pleasure and reward processing brain areas. There you go. Sexual activities, what else? Listening to music, what else? Gambling and taking drugs. Now, of those four, it could be said that two of those are fairly positive activities. They can be negative, depending on the context. But generally speaking, sexual activities, listening to music, positive. Gambling, taking drugs, many would consider to be negative activities in that they're destructive. Well, the participants also reported feelings of peace and physical warmth. And the researchers noted, Michael Ferguson in particular, that when the study participants were instructed to think about a savior, about being with their families for eternity, about their heavenly rewards, their brains and bodies physically responded. Savior, and notice this now, not just thinking about being with their families, but being with their families for eternity. Their heavenly rewards, their brains and their bodies physically responded. And these findings echo the findings of older studies, which found that engaging in spiritual practices raises levels of serotonin, the happiness neurotransmitter, and endorphins. Engaging in spiritual practices, there is something to be said for having a prayer life, for having a lifestyle of regularly studying the Word, for meditating deeply and sincerely on God's Word, on God's goodness, etc. And of course, what they're noting is that this is happening for people of various religions, including Mormons. Engaging in spiritual practices literally, actually raises levels of the happiness neurotransmitter called serotonin. It also raises levels of endorphins, part of what's being kicked into play when runners run. It's part of the reason that they enjoy running so much. They certainly enjoy being fit, but they also like that good feeling that comes from having the endorphins released and other chemicals released. So what do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Some people would say, that religion stuff ain't nothing to it. Well, there really is something to it. When it comes to endorphins, those are the euphoria-inducing molecules whose name comes from the phrase endogenous morphine. Endogenous morphine. That is the phrase from which the word endorphins comes. The neurophysiological effects of religion seem to give the dictum that, and you all know, you heard a former, I think, communist leader say this, and he said it in a very, very disparaging way, that religion is the opium of the people. How many of you were thinking about that when you heard me talking about the release of serotonin and other chemicals as a result of spiritual practice? But notice this now. Part of his point was that religion used to just numb and dumb people. And he was speaking of religion in a very, very negative way. But he did say religion is the opium of the people. Well, certainly not the way he meant it. Not the way he meant it, but religion certainly has a positively powerful impact on us when we're following religion correctly. Some recent advances in neuroimaging techniques allows us to understand how our brains, get this, quote unquote, create a spiritual or mystical experience. Now, one of the things that troubles me about that is this whole notion of us creating the spiritual or mystical experience. But can it be done? What causes the feeling that someone else is present in the room, or that we've stepped outside of our bodies and into another dimension? Dr. Anderson says that in the last few years, brain imaging technologies have matured in ways that are letting us approach questions that have been around for millennia. How many of you are thinking, okay, what they're saying, our brains actually create our spiritual experiences. Does that mean we created God? Let's listen to some more of these questions and entertain this idea when we come back. Even if, well, if not today, next week, because I definitely want you to hear from Sister Member and Sister Number. Stay with us, your host, Christopher. Carl Thornton Jr., inviting you to stay right here with us as we bring you more of Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. in just a few.